Now, overnight, we've got a whole data dump on the state of the royal family. They were told from that data, we learned that the income of the family is going to go up by £45 million, a 53% jump in its official annual income to more than £130 million. Why is that? Well, the Crown Estate registered profits for £1.1 billion, and that means the amount of public money sent to the royal family increases as an equivalence. Let's talk to somebody who's not a big fan of the royal family and maybe have some thoughts on this amount of money that is swashing around the system at the moment. Graham Smith joins us. He represents Republic, which is an anti-monarchy campaign group. In a sense, this data points, Graham, to the royal family being more self-funding. Some of their assets are generating income, which means the contribution from us citizens is going down, isn't it?
No. Good morning. I mean, I don't know what assets you're referring to, but they don't have any assets generating income. The Crown Estate belongs to the state. The two duchies belong to the state, and the income from the two duchies goes into the pockets as personal income of William and Charles. William now refusing to declare what tax he's paying, even though he doesn't have to pay tax, and his £23 million income comes indirectly from us.
So if he doesn't have to pay any taxes, the answer is zero. So why does he need to answer the question, how much tax do you pay?
Well, we pay him through the Duchy of Cornwall £23 million.
Yeah.
He has a unique exemption shared only by his father that he doesn't have to pay income tax that everybody else has to pay. He claims to pay income tax, but he won't tell us how much it is. I don't think it's unreasonable, given the situation he's in and who's funding him, that he tells us what income tax he's paying. It's a simple matter of accountability and transparency. His father used to tell us when he was Prince of Wales. William has changed that.
Is that a change? So that's a change. That's one that has escaped my attention, but that is actual change since William took over in that role, is it?
And when the royals are very, very secretive. I mean, some academics have said they're more secretive than MI5 and CIA. I mean, they love secrecy, and secrecy is there for a reason, because they don't want you to know what they're hiding. So you can only assume, you know, it's not unreasonable to draw conclusions about what changes he's making to his taxes, which he gets to choose. I mean, you and I don't get to choose. No one else gets to choose how much tax we pay. We pay what we're told to pay by the government. He gets to choose, and then gets to decide whether or not he announces how much it is. But the rest of the funding all comes from the government, so, and it's a lot more than what they announce. So we've worked out over the years that it's at least £345 million a year, plus over the last 2 years we've had the huge cost of a Jubilee funeral and then the coronation. So, you know, you're looking at close to £1 billion we've given them over the last 2 years, and it does all come from the government. And that is now going up again by £45 million next year, next financial year. So it just carries on going up, not for any reason. They haven't calculated and said we need an extra £45 million. It's going up only because the Crown Estate profits go up, and George Osborne decided to peg the grant to that.
Yeah, there's an automaticity about this, isn't there? That as the Crown Estate profits, you then siphon off a proportion of those and give it to the family.
I mean, it doesn't actually come from that from the Crown Estate at all, but it is pegged to it, and it's only pegged for increases. If the Crown Estate suddenly had an awful year and their profits went to zero, the grant stays where it was, so it doesn't go down. So it's not a percentage of what they're making. It is simply a way of pegging increases. And it used to be, before George Osborne came along, that MPs had a say every decade at least, if not more often, on how the civil list was calculated, how much it might be. And now the MPs have no opportunity to debate this in Parliament. It just automatically goes up every year.
Well, they could bring motions forward, or private members' bills, or Lord knows what else.
It was a government bill before. There was a serious debate with the votes and, you know, binding decisions in the past. And now it's left to MPs to try and, you know, say something to the private members.
So you're harking back to the good old days when these things were discussed by governments. Tell me about one of the phenomena I think this year within the data here is that famously all the seashore, isn't it, the coastline of Britain, is it from 0 to 12 miles out or something? It's all owned by the Crown Estate, isn't it? Or most of it is. Some bits of it are private. And that has had a bit of a windfall because of leases, funnily enough, for wind farms. So a windfall from wind farms. That is a good thing, isn't it? Isn't that a win-win for everybody?
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, the Crown Estate has nothing to do with the royal family. It's a state asset.
Well, it belongs
to the
does.
Crown, which is a well. No, it doesn't. It doesn't belong to them at all. They have no personal claim on it. It doesn't fund them. It is a state asset that belongs to the Crown, and it funds the government.
Well,
and
they live in a lot of its properties and things, don't they?
Well, that's another question as to why they allow them to do that. But the point is that the it is right that the Crown Estate uses its assets to make money for the government, which is what it's doing. Now, whether or not the Crown Estate and therefore, you know, indirectly the government has ownership of those seabeds is another matter, but it doesn't really come into whether or not the monarchy gets income from the government. So if the Crown Estate sold all the seabeds and didn't make that profit, the grant from the government to the monarchy would still be the same, because it, in law, can't go down. So that's why I'm saying it's not really connected. The issue is the fact that when we are being told that we can't fund increase in or increase funding for the NHS, when we're being told we can't deal with the cap on child benefits, we are giving over 2 years about £1 billion to the monarchy so that they can have palatial homes, helicopter flights here, there and everywhere for private as well as public travel, and huge pointless parades in London that only 9% were excited by last year.
Okay, I'll leave some of those more inflammatory things you wanted me to tease you about or ask you about just aside, but you mentioned the word helicopter. I read within this data dump from overnight, two new helicopters are going to be procured for official use. They argue it's going to be more efficient to do that, presumably, than to use many leases or private things. Is that something you can see there's a common sense approach there?
Well, the problem with the helicopter issue is that they use helicopters to travel everywhere as a routine when they could quite easily travel by car or by train. And, you know, we had a really farcical situation a couple of years ago where Charles, when he was still Prince of Wales, flew by helicopter from Gloucestershire, where he has the Highgrove home, to Cambridge, where he was met by his car. So his car went anyway, driven to a university building where he lectured climate scientists on the need to reduce emissions from aircraft before going back in his car to the helicopter and flying back to Highgrove. And he does this routinely, and they all do it routinely. And they simply do not need to use helicopters in the way that most people might use a car. They can travel in normal transportation.
There are speed questions, there are safety questions, surely, that you have to add to those considerations.
Why? I mean, you know, Rishi Sunak was being routinely criticised for flying everywhere by helicopter.
But he had an argument, didn't he? As Prime Minister, he was trying to cram in 10 appointments each day.
Indeed. That's the Prime Minister. He has a real job. Charles doesn't cram in 10 appointments each day. If you look at his calendar, well before he was unwell, it was, you know, one appointment, maybe two appointments in a day in the same place usually, and then days and days without doing anything. He's not busy. He doesn't need to get around that quickly. There's no reason why
from cancer,
he can't.
We're told,
aren't we? No, well, as I said before, you know, I've looked at these. You do the number crunching going back years. They simply don't have that much to do. And the idea that he is in any way as busy as a Prime Minister, who, yes, arguably may need to get around quickly, he doesn't need to do that. And yet he flies around by helicopter simply to go from Buckingham Palace to Windsor, which is a relatively short journey. So they fly by helicopter all the time whilst lecturing people on climate change. And this is why he's a really poor advocate on the issue, because he is a grade A hypocrite.
Graham Smith, always good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. Graham Smith is from Republic, the anti-monarchy campaign group.